Avos Perk Aleph, Mishnah Yud Dalet 114, and this is the third of the three statements we have from Hillel, at least in this part of the Mishnah. Truth is, we'll actually go back to Hillel later on in the Masechta. So this, I think, is the most famous of Hillel's statements in Pirkei Avos. He says, Hu haya omer, he used to say, Im ein anili mili, if I am not for myself, who will be for me? Ukisha ani la'atzmi, and if I am for myself, ma'ani, what am I? Vim lo achshav emasai, and if not now, when? That's Hillel's statement. It's interesting. It sounds a bit paradoxical. It echoes other kind of paradoxical things he says elsewhere. He's quoted as saying elsewhere in Shas. The Bartanur learns that the point of this Mishnah is all about earning one's olam haba, his world to come. So we're talking here about, like, say, doing Torah mitzvahs, and the point of the Mishnah is that im ein anili mili, if I won't do that, if I won't learn Torah and do mitzvahs, then no one else can do it for me. The whole, unlike everything else in life, where I need lots of things, but someone else could be my agent and do it for me. They could take care of my health, they could take care of my home and my money, and give me gifts, and I could win the lottery. But because olam haba is something which is intrinsic, it's about what you do with yourself, what you make of yourself, and it's a function of your bechira, your specific choices, your capacity to exercise your free will. It's all about you and the choices you make. And whatever people do for you, by definition, isn't you doing it. And therefore, that will not be part of your olam haba. So therefore, Hillel is saying, according to the first pshat, the primary pshat in the Bartanura, which is only you can earn your olam haba. And therefore, you know, you got to focus on it because you can't rely on other people. Now, the Bartanura's pshat is peculiar just to Olam Haba, but others, like the Rambam, understand we could be talking about things in Olam Hazeh as well, meaning we're talking about not just earning your world to come, but also the rectification of self, you know, the inculcation of good midos tovos, proper personality traits, self-improvement, and the like. Again, acting in one's self-interest in this world as well, in the self-interest in terms of not of necessarily material gain or something like that, but in the interest of self-development and what really matters. And I think this Mishnah, this first part of the Mishnah here, echoes something that the Hillel is quoted as saying elsewhere in Sukkah Nun Gimel. There, Hillel says, I think also very famously and sort of mysteriously, he says, Tanya Amru Alav Al Hillel Hazakin, it was taught in a Brisa by Hillel Hazakin, Kishahaya Sameach B'Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when he would rejoice at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, the big celebratory event that happened in the Beis HaMikdash during Sukkot, every day there. Amar Kane, he used to say, Im ani kan hakol kan. If I'm here, then everything or everyone is here. Vim eini kan, mi kan. And if I'm not here, so then who's here? And that's a peculiar thing to say, that he says, Im ani kan hakol kan, if I'm here, then everyone's here. Especially in the context of Hillel, because Hillel is sort of portrayed and seen as the sort of the paragon of humility. After Moshe Rabbeinu, he's like the stories about him in the Talmud again emphasize repeatedly how patient and forbearing and sympathetic and tolerant he was, and really a truly humble person. So it's very strange that he'd say, if I'm here, everyone's here, and if not, then not. Then. So that's strange. So because of that, many Rishonim like Rashi and the Ritva understand that Hillel is speaking on behalf of the Shekhinah of Hashem. He's saying if the Shekhinah is here, everything is here, and if not, then not. And the Ben Yoyad even says in the Apshat, interestingly, he says that Hillel, that's the case because Hillel is the same gematria as the Shem Aleph Dalet Nun Yun. Hashem's name, Adnos, is gematria 65 like Hillel. But the Rishash points out that Tzatz Kash, it's a little difficult to learn that way because elsewhere the Gemara says that the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence, had actually left and wasn't present in the temple during Vayishani, the Second Temple period, which makes it a little difficult. At all events, it seems if you understand Hillel to be speaking more about as if he's speaking on behalf of himself. So what it really could mean then, im ani kan hakol kan, means this sentiment of Hillel over here in our Mishnah, that really, as far as what I'm in control of, what matters in terms of what I can make a difference about, it's all just about my bechira. In other words, lots of things are happening around me, and those things might be important, but I can do nothing about them. Or if I can, then they're within my realm of what I can do. That which I can do, I must do. And that which I can't do, there's really not really worrying about. And therefore, in my Nikon, if I'm present at this event here, so then as far as I'm concerned, Hakolkan, that's all that I could bring to the table. Therefore, everything is here. And more than that, it's sort of, you can look at it almost like the, you know, Immanuel Kant's categorical imperative, where you kind of look at as a general rule to be established from what each individual should do. So if Hill's present and he's, you know, giving it his all, so then everyone just has to follow suit, and then indeed everyone will be here. Kind of like the old paradox about what difference does my vote make in the election. You know, there's 100 million votes cast, and like it makes no difference if I vote or don't vote. And the answer to that always is, well, if everyone thought like you, then no one would vote. It would make a difference, so you have to do your fair share. The idea is, yeah, every single person has to do what he can or she can, and then if everyone does that, of course, then it all comes together, and if not, then not. But all you can do, all you can bring to the table is your right decision. Your decisions, you have to take responsibility for yourself, your actions, and no one else can do that for you. That's step one. But then Hill points out, even though all that really matters as far as you're concerned is your choices, because that's all you can really have control over, ukashnila atzmi ma'ani, if that's what you're focused on, just yourself, so then what are you already? If your orientation, your the framework from which you're looking is all about your olam haba, as the Bartanura learns it, or like the Ram, your self-actualization, your self-perfection, your, you know, development of your good midos, then you're sort of missing the boat altogether. So the way that the Bartanura learns it is simply that, it could never be enough. Just, you know, your obligations, your potential is so infinite, whatever you put in, what have you amounted to already. But others, like the Sforna, learn that means that your orientation has to be about giving back, helping other people, investing in them. And although all you can control is your Bechira, your choices, but your choices really can be to choose to help enlighten and benefit other people as well. And this is really central to the Jewish notion of identity, how a person should perceive himself. Who are you? So if you look at yourself as just, I'm going to be the greatest me that I can be, that's a tragically Hellenistic Western notion, just of self-accusation. So then, ma'ani, what are you already? You're nothing. You're in the context of all of the Jewish people and humanity, the universe, you're just a little speck. So if that's all it is about you, so that's a very small little world. Even though it's true, imani kan lekol kan, the Mishnah Sanhedrin says, each person is like an olam malea. Each person is a whole universe. You save one life, it's like you save the whole universe. That's because each person matters infinitely. That's true, and that's true, of course, for each individual. But the world's much bigger than that. And if you're just focusing on that little bit, you're missing on the big picture. So a Jew's identity must be, he is part of the Jewish people, not just an individual who's looking to self-actualize and perfect himself, but rather to play his part in the larger Knesset Yisrael, larger Jewish people, in achieving its mission. And that's, I think, also super important. My metaphor is, you know, let's say you've got this Olympic athlete. He's the greatest, right? And why is he so great? Because he has these sort of like superhuman biceps. So the biceps are the secret ingredient. That's what makes it happen. But if you would take his biceps and sort of like take the bicep and put it on the podium, just extract a piece of muscle sitting by itself, detached from the rest of the person, so that the muscle is useless. It's disgusting. It has no shot. It has no purpose. It detached from the larger being, it's nothing. And that's the idea. You, as part of the Jewish people, even if you are the greatest, and even if it is thanks to you, the Jewish people can achieve what it's going to achieve. You're the most important piece in the puzzle. You're just a piece in the puzzle, and separated from the rest of the puzzle, you lose all context, you lose all meaning, lose all significance. So your exertion for self-actualization and perfectioning of yourself has to be in the context of how this plays a role in the greater Jewish people. And this is actually brought down, in fact, l'halacha, in a pretty remarkable halacha. I should read to you the Gemara. It's really based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. But the Rambam, Maimonides, rules l'halacha, in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Yud Aleph, 3:11, Haporish Midarkei Tzibor, one who separates himself from the ways of the community, Afa Pi Shelo Avar Averos, even if he did nothing wrong, Ela Nivdel Ma'adas Yisrael, he just separates himself, like from this, so socially speaking, he makes himself alone, separate from the rest of the community of Israel, Ve'eina Osim Mitzvosav Bechlalam, he doesn't participate in their mitzvahs with them, he doesn't include himself in their suffering. He doesn't fast when they fast. He sees himself as sort of separate socially, but he has no averas in particular. Ela holech b'darko, he just goes in his way, doing his thing, ke echad migoy ha'aretz, like a member of any other nation, not identifying with the Jewish people specifically, uki'ilu eino mehem, as if he's not part of the Jews, ein lo chelek l'olam haba, he forfeits his portion in the world to come, altogether. So that means, like the Rambam, like the Bartanur is only here, this is about olam haba, a person, even though it's true that Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelak L'Olam Haba, every Jew has a portion in the world to come, that's because he's part of Yisrael. If a person is only about himself and detached from the community, who needs him? God doesn't need you to be perfect. He needs to be. He wants the Jewish people collectively, Yisrael, to achieve something, and you can have a role in that, and that will be your zechus. But if you detach yourself from that, you've missed the entire message, and you're useless, and actually, you have no Chelak L'Olam Haba at all. You have no place, no pshat in the world to come. You're like a bicep sitting on the podium all by itself. And therefore, there's one other Gemara I want to quote to you. It's a Gemara that Rav Noach Weinberg used to quote all the time in his line of business, of course, Kir V'Chokim, reaching out to estranged Jews. So it's a Gemara in Shabbos. And the Gemara in Shabbos here is focused on the importance of reaching out to one's fellow Jew to try to help them and set them straight. So the Gemara says, I'll read it to you. It's a terrifying Gemara, actually. It's the context of the Gemara is saying that whenever Hashem makes a decree in heaven, so if it's for a good thing, so then it's going to come true. Okay, if it's for a bad thing, Hashem could change his mind if people do tshuva. But if it's a good thing, Hashem carries out the good thing. Except for one exception. That's the context of this Mishnah here. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, Nun Hei Amun Aleph, 55a, where it's based on a verse in Yechezkel, Ezekiel 9:4. We see the Gemara explains how Hashem once changed his mind from good to bad. And the Gemara goes like this. It says, T'am Reb Achi B'Reb Chanina, Me'olam lo yatsa mida tova mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It never happened that on high Hashem would decree something good, v'chazer ba l'ra'a, and then Hashem changed his mind and then carried out something bad instead. Chutz medavar zeh, except for one exception. Tichsiv, there's a pasuk that says, this is again in Yechezkel, in Ezekiel 9:4. V'yomer Hashem elav, Hashem said to him, the Gemara will explain what we're talking about here. Avor besocha ir besoch Yushalayim, pass through the city of Jerusalem. Vehisvisa tav, and like inscribe the letter tav, the last letter of the alphabet, al mitzchos ha'anashim ha'nenachim ve'nachim, al kol ha'to'evos ha'na'asim besocha. And then they put a mark, the letter tav, on the heads of all the people who are, you know, groaning and crying out over the abominations of the city. So the Gemara explains, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, Le Gavriel, to the angel Gavriel who carries out the Midas Adin, Leich, go, Urashom al Mitzchan shel Tzadikim Tav shel Dio. Go and inscribe on the foreheads of every one of the righteous people a letter Tav with ink. Shlo Yishlatu Bahem Malachei HaChabala. So that the Malachei HaChabala, the angels of destruction, shouldn't have force over them. They should skip over them. Val mitzcham shel reshayim, and on the foreheads of the wicked, tav shel dam, put a letter tav in out of blood. Kadei sheyishlatu behen malachei chabala, so that the angels of destruction should act on them and punish them, the sinners of the city. So amru midas hadin lifnei hakadosh baruch hu. So then the midas hadin, the Hashem's midah, if you will, or whatever, of justice, says, wait a second, Ribono Shel Olam, Hashem, ma na nishtanu elu me'elu? What is the difference between these and those? The guys are getting the blood and the guys are getting the ink. Amar la, so Hashem says back to midas hadin, halalu tzadikim gemurim v'halalu rishayim gemurim. What are you talking about? The guys who get the ink, those guys are tzadikim gemurim, they're perfectly righteous, and the guys who get the blood, they're perfectly wicked. What do you mean, what's the difference between them? They're totally different. Amr Lefanov, so the Midas Adin says to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, Hay biyadim limchos velo michu. They could have said something to get the people who were wicked back on the straight and narrow. They could have intervened, but they didn't. Amr Allah, so Hashem says back to the Midas Adin, Galui v'yadu lefanai she'im michu mehem lo yikablu mehem. Hashem says, I know, being omniscient Hashem, that even if the tzaddikim would have intervened and tried to get involved to make a difference with the Rishayim, it wouldn't have worked. Amr Lefanov, so the Midas Adin said back to Hashem, Ribono Shalom, Im lefanecha galui, lehem mi galui? Yes, Hashem, you being omniscient know what would have happened. But did they know? They didn't know it wouldn't be effective, and they didn't even try. And since they didn't try, they're held equally accountable. And indeed, says the Gemara after that, Hashem changed his tune, so to speak, and said that the wicked actually are, the righteous are responsible, and the tzaddikim actually were the first to get punished. So the Gemara's emphasis here is that we are a raven zebazeh, every Jew is responsible for his fellow Jew, and has to get involved, and even if you're certain it's beyond you, they're not going to listen to you, it doesn't matter. You need to be involved and do your very best to be mindful of the needs of others and try to help them and bring them along. And if you don't, regardless of whether or not your efforts would have otherwise been successful, you're held accountable. So you need to be mindful of that. Finally, it says Hillel, v'im lo achshav emasai. And if not now, when? So the Baruch Tanur understands two pshatim here, which basically sum up the two basic approaches of the Mishnah. Either he says, if not, since he's focused on Olam Haba, he says, if not now, meaning not in this world, this is your big chance, then when? Because there are two stages to history. There's stage one, we're in now, where is the possibility of earning one's eternity. And then stage two is actually living with and experiencing and enjoying and benefiting from that eternity that exists with Hashem. So if you're not going to do it now, when you plan on doing it? It's now or never. His other approach, which probably speaks more to us in the sense that it's sort of it gives a kick in the pants, is that if not now, when? Meaning your actions on your emphasis, your efforts to, you know, to self-actualize and self-improve and to earn your Olam Haba, doing your mitzvahs and Torah, the sooner the better. Why? Because first of all, who even knows there will be a tomorrow? If not today, who says tomorrow will even come around? Who knows? You'll be able to do tomorrow. And even if, you know, tomorrow is just another day, yeah, but you won't be any younger. You won't necessarily have you'll be that much less energized and perhaps that much more deeply entrenched in your bad habits. And therefore, there is no time like the present to get a move on in making this life count, in repairing yourself and your relationships, doing your mitzvahs, learning your Torah, and earning your Olam Haba. I'll end with something which they say nowadays, a very sort of, I don't know where it comes from, but a very cute insight that says that a person he lives two lives. Each of us live two lives. The second life begins when we realize we only have one life. And that really resonates with me very much. As much as, you know, every young person can't imagine that, you know, their life will come to an end and it's a, you know, fun opportunity. But when Hashem created the Malach HaMavis, the possibility of human mortality, that was Tov Ma'od. That was the best that could happen to us because we need to realize, and hopefully the sooner the better, that really this is the one life we have. And we need to make it count. And every minute is precious. And the clock is ticking. And we don't get those seconds back. So, im lo achshav emasai, if not now, when do you plan to start to turning your life around, to becoming a better person, doing your mitzvahs, learning your Torah, perfecting yourself, and earning your Olam Haba?